Okay, we're on Daf Chaf Amud Beis in the Gemara Sota. We're going to the next part of the Mishnah now. The Mishnah then says, when she starts to drink the water, if she's guilty, she already begins to start to die, unless she has a merit. So what do they say? Vehem Omrim, and everybody around her, they see the waters are beginning to take effect. They say, Hotziu, get her out of here, because we don't want her to be Mektame the area that she's in. Now that's what we're going to see. The Mishnah didn't give the reason, but now the Gemara is going to explain why we get her out there as soon as possible. My time, what's the reason we hurry her out? Didilma. Hello? It just froze. See, you jinxed it, shall we? You said all the things that have to go right. Okay, didilma mesa. Because perhaps she'll die, and she will contaminate the Azora with her corpse. The Azora can become Tameh. She's dead in the Azora. That's why they get her out.
Doesn't have to be under a roof.
Well,
the
first
roof can become
Tameh. Well, the Azora itself can become Tameh.
I thought it had to be contained.
No, not necessarily. And there are a lot of areas that are covered. There's a lot of areas that are covered. Okay, so she can make, and Gemara's going to discuss that issue a little bit. But we don't want her to contaminate the chutzar. Now the Gemara says, wait a minute, hold on. Lameimra demes oser b'machanovia. Are you telling me that it's forbidden to have a corpse in the Levite camp? Remember, there's three camps. There was the Yisrael camp, the regular Jewish camp. Here, the describe it perfectly here. You had the Machane Shechina, that's where the Mishkan stood. The Machane Levia, the Levite camp, the area that surrounded the Mishkan. And the Machane Yisrael, the place where all the Jews lived. Now that's when they went in the desert. When they came to Yerushalayim, the setup was a little bit, the same idea of three, but it was a little bit different. Jerusalem was correspondingly divided into the camp of the Shechina. That comprised the sanctuary and the temple courtyard. Then came the Levite camp, which comprised the rest of the Temple Mount. Okay, you've got the actual sanctuary where the Kelim were, the Chotzer, that's all the Machane Shechina, the divine camp. Then you got the rest of the Temple Mount, which is the Levite camp. And then, now here's the point, the woman's courtyard in the temple, including the Nicanor gate, was where the Sota stood, was not sanctified with the holiness of the temple courtyard. It was not part of the Azora. It's not part of the courtyard's holiness. It extends beyond the courtyard. Hence, it has the status of the Levite camp, like the rest of the Temple Mount. Right? So where she's drinking, where she's going to die, is the Levite camp. Thus, if the Kohanim would have to hurry the dying soul out of the woman's courtyard, she should not come upon her death, then we get that the corpse, Tumah, is forbidden to the Levite camp. So it's assuming that the Levite camp, you can't have Tumah there. That's what it would seem from this Mishnah. In other words, where is she situated? In the woman's courtyard by the Shar Nicanor, that's considered the Levite camp. So the Levite camp, we're saying, get her out of there, because we don't want her to make the Levite camp Tumah. So Gomorrah is going to ask a question. Since when can't the Levite camp be Tumah? Only the Machane Shechina can't have Tumah. And that's what Gemara's going to ask. But Tanya, we learn in a Brisa that says the otherwise, it says, Tmei Meis, someone who has come in contact with a corpse and is Tamei, Mutar Likanes L'Machane Levia, is allowed to enter the Levite camp. Only Tamei Meis can't come into the Machane Shechina, but the Levite camp, they can come in. And the Brisa goes on, Velo Tamei Meis Bovadamar. They didn't only say that by a person who came in contact with the dead. Ela Avilo Meis Asma, an even actual corpse can enter the Levite camp. So that's a Brisa that's going against this Mishnah. How do we know? This Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, look at the biggest proof. Moshe took the bones of Yosef, didn't he? Bones of Yosef is a corpse? Yeah? And where did Moshe live? In which camp? Levite camp. Vayikach Moshe satzpus Yosef imo. Moshe took the bones of Yosef with him. What does it mean, with him? Imal means b'mechitza, so within his boundary, meaning within the Levite camp where he lived, and he was a Levi. So we see it could be in a Levite camp. So what was the Mishnah so concerned? If you see she's dying, we got to get her out of here, because if she dies, she'll contaminate the Levite camp, but you're allowed to have a corpse in the Levite camp. So what's the problem? That's the Gemara's kasha. Gemara says that, yeah, certain tumas are allowed in the Levite camp. Certain tumas are not allowed in the Levite camp. There's different categories of tumah. So you're going to, so the Gemara is going to say, you're right. The fact that she's going to be a corpse, that's not a problem. But while she's dying, she can give off another tumah. You're wondering, what would that other tumah be? And it could be a more severe tumah. Omar Abaye says, the reason we take her out is because maybe she will become Shema Tifros Nida. Maybe because of the fright, she'll begin to menstruate. Okay? And the Gemara Mesuchim tells us that a Nida, a Zav, a Zava, or a Balkari is not allowed in the Levite camp. So it's not because she's going to be dead, but because of the fright that could bring on a menstruation, which makes her a Nida. And if she's a Nida, a Nida's not allowed to be in the camp. That's the problem. So that's the reason we've got to get her out. Okay. Okay, there's questions now, but that's good enough. Now, the Gemara...
Would it be possible a woman can be frightened enough?
Yeah. There's the whole... And Shulchan talks about all kinds of situations that can bring on a menstruation as opposed to the regular cycle. Gemara says all kinds of things. Gemara says, for example, if a woman... they just decide to get married. The excitement can have her menstruate. Maybe it doesn't happen nowadays, but the Gemara does mention a number of things. Certain activities can bring it on. Not everybody, but that's possible. And therefore, since it's a possibility, we don't want to wait to find out if it happened or not. Because once she menstruates, she's already tummy, and then she already makes that area tummy.
I can't remember if it's Zava. Remember we learned in the
Rabbi? Yes.
The one where it's not during the cycle, and it's you don't have to wait a whole week.
Yeah, well, there's a small one and a big one, yeah.
Right.
So Anita...
One of those as opposed to the normal expected cycle?
No, it said she'd be a regular Anita.
Really?
Yeah.
Not one of those other ones.
No. So that's what they're concerned about. So now the Gemara asks a question. Wait a minute. Lememra de Biyusa Marpi? Do you mean to say that fright loosens up the womb and causes her to menstruate? Or it says, Ain, yes. Yes, we really mean it. Tichsiv. Because there's a pasuk that is a hint to that. Talking about Queen Esther. It says by Queen Esther the following words. Vatischalchal hamalka ma'od. The queen was very much afraid. Now let's take a look at the etymology of the word. Tischalchal comes the word chayel, which is fear. So the double form, and that's a double. You hear it sounds double? Vatischalchal. So therefore, the Gemara interprets this as a reference to chalulim, cavities, openings. So that's when Esther heard that Mordechai had done sackcloth, her fright affected the cavities of her body, causing them to loosen and discharge what they contained. So you see from that pasuk, the fright brought on that was in her cavities gets removed. And the Gemara explains what it says. From Rav, and Rav says, what happened? She pierced her knee, she became Anita. So therefore, you see that fright can bring on Anita. It says Esther, when she heard about the terrible news that the Jews were going to get wiped out, she became afraid and became Anita. And Gemara...
How do they make that connection?
But Tischalchal. Tischalchal means...
Chal means
fear. And now it's used double. It doesn't... Chal is fear. But Tischalchal, double expression. So it means to say there's something else beside fear. There's fear and there's a reference to chalulim, cavities. So the fear affected her cavities. So what's that? That's her womb that holds the dam, and the dam just came out. So she became Anita. That's how the Gemara derives that. Right? So you see that fear brings that out. Okay? All right. Now, but Gemara says, wait a minute. I got a different source. Well, non-san, but we learned in another Mishnah the opposite. Karada misalekistam, and fear suspends the discharge of blood. right? It says, ordinary woman's fixed period is assumed to come at its fixed time. Thus, if she fails to examine herself on the day of her fixed period, but does so afterwards and finds no blood, she's nonetheless tameh, because we assume the blood came, but she didn't see it. The Mishnah there cites that if, however, she's hiding from marauders or besiegers when the time for period arrives, then she remains tar if the post-period examination finds no blood. Why? Gemara says, because her fear of being fined probably suppressed the flow. So there's the Gemara says that she's afraid the blood doesn't come out. So what's going on over there? So Gemara says the difference like this. Pachtotzomis, fear is, that's not sudden, contracts the womb so it won't discharge. If it's not a sudden fear, it's like slowly developing. The burglars are coming. So she has time to adjust to the fear. That will hold back the blood. But biusa, but a sudden fright, marpet, could cause it to come out. That's the difference over there. So the case of our sota, it's no. But once she's drinking it, man, that's sudden. There's still, this is our Mishnah's case of sota, where she has the sudden fright of realizing the waters are taking effect. That's the thing. It's beginning to take effect. You know, the whole time, you know, who knows God. She starts drinking. All of a sudden, she feels her body, something's happening. She says, oh no, I'm really dying. That's a sudden thing that happened. You know, believe me, why would she drink the... Let's think of that. If the woman was guilty, why would she go to drink the water knowing it would kill her? What do you have to say?
She went to her husband.
But she doesn't think she's going to die.
Right.
Like, she's certain. She's certain she doesn't
believe this will happen, or...
Okay, so she doesn't believe it's going to happen, or she's not going to die, whatever. All of a sudden, she is going to die. That's a sudden fright. Because all of a sudden, from knowing she's not going to die... Suddenly realizing she is going to die, that's a sudden fright. Queen Esther was suddenly afraid. She just heard this terrifying news. When Ganavim come by, it's like she's hiding from them, so it's a slower process, because it's not that the robber grabbed her. You know, that might make a new sudden fright, but that one that one gets acclimated to, while the other one is not. And that's what he's saying. She's not planning on dying. She wasn't. If she thought she was dying, she wouldn't drink the water. But now all of a sudden, I guess she's wrong. Suddenly you're wrong. Suddenly you're going to die. So then that's not good.
Why would she think she's not going to die? Well, everybody, other women she knows have died. Drink the water.
First of all, the other woman died because she was, her husband was a good guy. So my husband, I think, is a bad guy. You know, or she maybe never saw it.
Yeah.
You know, let's put it this way.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, the Torah tells us, you know, don't do sins, you're going to get punished.
Yeah.
And historically, Jews have been punished, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we've had a lot, and still we sin. Yeah. Like, does anybody really think we're going to get away with as a people, not being a good people? You think we're going to get away with it? But still we sin. That's just human nature, right? But when all of a sudden, when it comes, uh-oh, Now I believe. Then it's sudden. Okay, now we're going to go to the next part of the Mishnah that says, Yesh lo schus. If she has a merit, it can delay it. A year, 2 years, 3 years. That was the next part of the Mishnah. Gemara says, Mani masnisin. Whom is our Mishnah authored by when it says that the merit can delay the punishment up to 3 years? So Gemara says, who it isn't, first of all. Lo Abba Yossi ben Chanan. It's not Abba Yossi, the son of Chanan. You'll see why. Velo Rabbi Elazar ben Yitzchak each Kfar Darom. It's not Rabbi Elazar ben Yitzchak, the man of Kfar Darom. Velo Rabbi Yishmael, and not Rabbi Yishmael. It's none of these opinions. As we're going to see in the Brice, that we're going to bring these three opinions, that none of them say 3 years. Remember, the Mishnah, it can go up to 3 years. So let's see. The Tanya, we have a Brice that discusses this issue. It says, Im yesh lo schus, if she has a merit, how long can it delay it? Tola lo shlosha chadashim. It will only hold her for 3 months. This is opinion number one. Why would it hold her for 3 months? Kedei hakara sa'uber, because it takes 3 months to notice if she's pregnant. In other words, if she has a merit, right? The Torah says, If she was innocent, it says, V'niksa v'nizrazar, then she'll be exonerated and bear seed. To mean that a guilty sota who has merits will be temporarily exonerated for the time it takes to bear seed. In other words, if she's innocent, she'll bear seed. How long does it take to know she will bear seed? 3 months. That's when you can tell she's pregnant. So the punishment for the woman who's guilty, so if she has a merit, how long can it go? As long as if she wasn't so wicked that she'd be able to have the time if she would be pregnant. So in other words, you give her 3 months. That's how he says it. As opposed to the righteous woman, within 3 months you'd see the positive effects. So if she has a merit, okay, it'll delay it 3 months. You know, if she would have been okay, we would have seen something good in 3 months. So we wait for 3 months. Who is that opinion? Divrei Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanan. That's Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanan. So he only says it's 3 months. It's not only 3 years business, 3 months. Rabbi Elazar ben Yitzchak Kfar Darom Amar. This Rabbi Yitzchak says, how long is the delay? Maximum? Teschadashi, 9 months. Because he goes further. Not just that pasuk says if she was meritorious, she gets pregnant, she's meritorious, and she also has a child. So we correspond that. Shenemar, because the pasuk says if she was innocent, v'niksa, she'll be clean, v'nizra, she will bear seed. And then it says, let's keep going, ulahalom, the pasuk goes on, omer, it says in Tehillim, zera yavdeinu yisupar. Right? And the meaning of seed means the seed who serves him will tell. So what does that mean? The seed that serves him will tell. The pasuk says, Zera Yavdu Yisupar Lelindor. Regarding the seed that serves him will be told of Hashem to the last generation. So Hashem, what is that? Hashem's praise will be told to the last generation for whom he has done to the seed of Israel. Gemara however expounds Yisupar as the vowels Yisaper will tell. So what does that mean? Zera, a seed, haroi lesaper, a seed that's fit to tell the praises of God. Well, at least it has to be alive to be worthy to tell the praises of God. So we take the word zera to mean a zera, a seed that's possible to praise God, so at least it has to be alive, so that's 9 months. Okay. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Rabbi Shmuel says, no, maximum is 12 months. 12 months. Have a solid proof that it's 12 months, says Rabbi Shmuel. There's a little hint to it. Because there's a pasuk that says in Daniel, this is dealing with the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had, the dream of the tree, which was saying how terrible things were going to happen. Because when the king Nebuchadnezzar made himself into an idol, all this stuff. So look what the dream foretells. That Nebuchadnezzar would be removed from humanity and would have to live with the animals. Daniel that advised Nebuchadnezzar the retribution would possibly avert if the king decided to give tzedakah. In other words, he had a bad dream. Daniel says, you're going to get it, man. It's going to be bad. But you know what? If you want to delay the punishment, okay, give a lot of charity, at least defer it. Okay, so obviously we're going to see that it gets deferred for a year, you see. So that's what's going to happen. So it says over there the following. It says, Lohen Malka, nevertheless, O king, Milki Yishparloch, let my advice be agreeable to you, Vechata'och betzitkoch purok, and you can redeem your sins through charity, Ve'ivisach b'michin inyan, and your iniquities with graciousness to the poor. Going up to the next page now, Chafam Aleph. He's still talking. He says, Hain, to have, oh, what happened? Got to back it up. Let's try it again. Hein teheve archa lish levoscha. In this way, there will be an extension of your tranquility. Okay? So Nebuchadnezzar listened to the advice, and every day he gathered together poor Jews who had taken the exile, and he gave them food. And that's what really Daniel had in mind the whole time. When he said, because he wanted him to help the Jews. So he told him to give him this advice. Okay, Nebuchadnezzar took advice not because, he didn't care about the plague of Nebuchadnezzar. He saw the Jews were in big trouble, so he said, if you give tzedakah, we'll help. So it ended up they were good. So now, but we don't still know where the year's coming from. Even the pasuk says, Kola mita al Nebuchadnezzar malka. It says, all the punishment befell the king Nebuchadnezzar. It all eventually happened. Now, so when did it happen? Uksiv, and it also writes, Liktsas Yarchin Treyasar. It says at the end of the 12 months. In other words, when he had the dream, so it took 12 months until what he said came true, so he's still doing the mitzvahs of tzedakah, deferred it for 12 months. So that's a hint that it could go 12 months. So anyway, so why does our Mishnah say she has certain things that could make it last till 3 years? We had three opinions of Brisa, 3 months, 9 months, 1 year. What are you getting 3 years from? He's learning it means only 1 year. Nine months, old enough. Well, that's that. You might want to learn it that way. I'm not saying you couldn't, but he didn't learn it that way. He said 9 months. So Gemara says, Le'olam, we could always go back and say, Rabbi Yishmol, he mefals Rabbi Yishmol. Va'ashkach kra de'amar v'tani. And he found a verse that states and states again three times that God grants an extension. Tichsiv. The pasuk says, Ko amar Hashem, so says Hashem, Ashloshe pishe adom, for three transgressions that Edom did, I've looked away. It's Amos, the book of Amos. Yes. So Hashem will look away from three averos he could look away from. And that means you're going to come out, and every time you look away, just like Hashem looked away from Nebuchadnezzar, that's 1 year. So three averos I look away, that's like 3 years. Right? But the fourth one I won't look away. Right, that's what the pasuk says. Right, so therefore, so we get to 3 years. If Hashem will look away at three averos, that means for each year it can go up to 3 years.
It's a year each. Who said it's a year each one?
Because we found by Nebuchadnezzar that when he was decreed, and he said, "Well, if you do this, you could push it off a year." So we see if Hashem pushes off. So the pasuk says he'll push us off 3 years. That could go that way, right? So that's that. It could be even according to that from that pasuk. Okay, now Gemara goes back to what Rabbi Shmuel said before, and what did Rabbi Shmuel mean when he said "Af b'shein ra'i l'dover"? Even though I don't have a proof to the matter that it was a year zeicha l'dover, I have a hint to it. Why is it not a real proof? It's what do you mean? It's a hint. It's a real proof. He lasted a year. So why is that? Well, not necessarily, because it was a different sin. Dilma shiny overcome. Maybe idol worship is different. Delo mach bedin alai. Judgment's not so quickly visited upon. In other words, of the two averas, which one does God despise more? Idol worship or immorality?
Immorality.
Immorality. So all you proved from the Nebuchadnezzar that if a guy does idol worshiping, you could push it off by a year. But how do you know immorality is going to be? Maybe immorality you get less pushed off. That's why he only said it was a zecher. But we still said it's 3 years because of the fact that the other pasuk says that that Hashem will look away for three punishments. So you see from that, he will look away for 3 years. Okay, fine. Next. Now we're looking at merits. If she has a merit, it can go up to 3 years. Now the question is, what are the merits? There's merits that can hold the punishment for 3 years. What merit could it be that's so good that could delay it for 3 years? So now let's think of what are all the good things that you could do that could bring merit. Let's try number one. Let's say it's the merit of Torah study. That's a good mitzvah that gives you lots of merits. Maybe we're going to say she has the merit of Torah study. Well, that ain't going to work. She's not commanded to study Torah. Right? Because the pasuk says, you shall teach them to your sons. Implying there's no command to teach one's daughters, right? Consequently, a woman's reward for Torah study is not as great. Remember, because if she does study, it's a nice thing, but she's not commanded to. There's a different level between one who's commanded to do a mitzvah and does it, and one who's not commanded to do it and does it. She's an eina mitzvah voisa. She's one who's not commanded and does it. So it can't be that powerful of a mitzvah, because we know the reward for a mitzvah is heightened when you're commanded to do the mitzvah, not if you're not commanded to do the mitzvah. So it can't be the mitzvah of Torah. So let's try another mitzvah. Ella schus the mitzvahs. How about the merit of doing mitzvah? And mitzvahs that she's commanded to. So maybe that will work. So Gemara says, as a question, schus the mitzvah mi magna kuliai, does the merit of a mitzvah protect so much? You're going to tell me if she does a mitzvah, the merit will go for 3 years. We see that's not so. Vatani, we learn a brisa. They say the following. Es zu dorosh Rabbi Nachman ben Yossi. Rabbi Nachman ben Yossi makes the following drasha on the famous pasuk. It says, Kiner mitzvah v'toira or. A mitzvah is a lamp, and Torah is light. So now, why is one called a lamp and one called a light? Tala hakosav es ha-mitzvah b'ner. This Torah links a mitzvah to a lamp. Vesa Torah ba'or, and Torah to a light. So what's the significance? It could have reversed it. Could have called them both a lamp, both a light. So why is a mitzvah called a lamp? The answer is, es ha-mitzvah b'ner, the reason we associate a mitzvah with a lamp, lomer lech to teach you, ma ner, when does a ner work? Eina magin elefisha, the lamp protects only temporarily. Right? How long does a lamp help you when the fire is burning? Right? Af mitzvah eina megina elevisha. So mitzvah only helps temporarily. Okay? Ves ha-Torah b'or. Why is the Torah associate the Torah with light? Lomer lach to teach you. Ma or megin la'olam. Light protects forever. Right? Af Torah megina la'olam. So too, Torah protects forever. So anyway, the merit of a mitzvah lasts only a short time. That's what it means. It's a lamp. But the merit of Torah, which lasts forever, shines all day. So how can you tell me that the merit's going to last for 3 years? Right? So that's problem number one. V'omer also says, "Bihisalechecha tancha osach." It also says in that verse of Kiner Mitzvah, Torah Or, it says, when you walk, it will guide you. Okay, that's the rest of the pasuk. When you walk, it will guide you. When you lie down, it will watch over you. When you wake up, it will advocate for you. Okay, so what does that mean? What does it mean when you walk, it will guide you? It means, Bisalechecha tanchoscha, when you're walking, it will guide you. Zeh ha'ilam hazeh. This is ha'ilam hazeh. Uveshach b'cha tishmalecha, and when you lie down, it will guard you. Zu misa. That's when you die, it will also protect you. V'hakitzosa, and you wake up, it will advocate for you. What's that? With analogous, a person is walking in the black of night and darkness. He's afraid he's going to fall into thorns, crevices, and thistles. And also, and from wild animals and from bandits. He doesn't know which way to go. Guy's lost. All of a sudden, he comes across a torch of fire. So what will the torch of fire help him? From which one of those things he was worried about? Well, we'll save from thorns, crevices, and thistles, because he can avoid them, because the torch is helping him. But he's still afraid from wild animals and robbers, because just having a torch isn't going to help you. And also, he still doesn't know which way to go. So in other words, a torch can only help so much. But kivan shalom mudashach, but once the sun comes up, the light comes up, then nitzel mechayero min alistim, he's saved from the robbers, he's saved from the wild animals, but still, vadayin eni yodei v'ezderech mal, he still don't know which way to go. It could be broad daylight, but if he's lost, he's lost. Higiel a precious drachim, when he comes to the crossroads, and I guess there are signs at the crossroads that tells you this way to there. Nitzel mikulam, he's saved from all of them, for now he knows which road to travel. So what is that telling us? So similarly, a person on his sojourn in this world walks a dark path fraught with unseen hazards upon which sin and suffering lurk. Moreover, the path is one whose direction is uncertain, as the person can never be sure that he will avoid the allure of a sin. The mitzvahs a person performs are like torches that light his way and spare him from some of these dangers. The Torah he studies is like the light of day, which shields him from sin and its punishment. Until the day of his death, however, he still does not know that his direction is secure, as his desires might compel him to abandon his Torah study again, exposing him to the HR. Only on the day of death, when he's at the crossroads between this life and the next, can he be certain, if he still cleaves then to the Torah, that he has successfully negotiated his perilous journey. Anyway, but what do you see from all that? That the light is limited, the lamp is limited in what it can help you. And that's what the Gemara is asking over here, right? Let's go back. So we're still in the process of the question. We haven't really answered the question yet. Let's go back where we started. If she does certain merits, the merits will help. And will help for 3 years. So we're saying, what merit is it? Is it the merit of Torah? She's not obliged in Torah. Is it the merit of mitzvahs? Mitzvahs only help temporarily. And this is all part of proving that mitzvahs help temporarily. So we're going to have to stop here in the middle. We're still in the question, what merit does a woman have? And right now, Torah doesn't seem to be the merit. Mitzvahs doesn't seem to be the merit, because we're in the middle of seeing that mitzvahs only help temporarily. What?
It's suspenseful.
Suspenseful. You have to come.